राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा, कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे। जय राधा वृंदावन चंद्र, राधा वृंदावन चंद्र हरे, जय राधा वृंदावन चंद्र, राधा वृंदावन चंद्र राधे, जय जगन्नाथ जय जगन्नाथ, जय बालदेव जय सुभद्रा, जय जगन्नाथ जय जगन्नाथ, जय बालदेव जय सुभद्रा, जय गौरनिता जय गौरनिता, जय गौरनिता जय गौरनिता, जय गौरनिता जय गौरनिता, जय गौरनिता जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद, जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद, जय प्रभुपाद। अनंत लीला प्रविष्ट ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस हरि प्रजकाचार्य अस्तुतर सत शिशुमान श्री अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। Ananta Lila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Pari Prajakacharya Asto Tarasata Shishimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishna Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Premsakoho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Shishi Radha Krishna Gogopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govar Dana Ki Jai, Shri Vrindavan Mathur Dama Ki Jai, Navadip Mayapur Dama Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dama Ki Jai, Yamuna Devi Ganga Devi Ki Jai, Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Book Distribution Ki Jai, Shishi Radha Vrindavan Chandra Mandir Ki Jai, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga.
Hare Krishna. So today the GBC college courses are starting for the next 14 days. And we have a great constellation of Vaishnavas assembling at Shri Shri Radha Vandavan Chandra Temple. I would like to welcome all of them, especially for the morning Bhagavatam class today, we have Her Grace Rukmini Mataji. She is the mother of the most famous Gauravani Prabhu, Million Moons, Kirtan artist. Mataji lives in Washington, D.C. and she is the disciple of Srila Prabhupada and got initiated in 1968. And she is wife of His Grace Anuttam Prabhu. Anuttam Prabhu, many of us have got training under Anuttam Prabhu on communication and leadership and guru and many other courses like that in the past. So it's a very illustrious family of Anuttam Prabhu, Rukmini Mataji and Gauravani Prabhu. All of them fully devoted to Srila Prabhupada's mission. She is on the board of directors at the Bhakti Center in New York City. She is also the founder of Urban Devi Collective, which offers a voice for women exploring the path of Bhakti Yoga. She is also on the board of trustees of the Bhaktivedanta College in Belgium. She is also the member of Sabha, that is a SABHA, Sabha committee, which is an advisory committee for our ISKCON. She is also a part of that. And in her first 25 years, she has been serving as a pujari as well as in preaching services. And the next 25 years, her family had a business to support ISKCON. And Mataji is very active and I have heard from Chaupati many devotees as well as from Parapuja Radhanath Maharaj about the glories of this wonderful family of Rupini Mataji Anutam Prabhu and Gauravani Prabhu. So once we had a class by her some probably last year, and again we are very fortunate to have her at Pune here. I have seen Mataji speak on Bhagavatam very eloquently with very nice illustrations and explanations from Shastra. She is very deeply learned. Let us welcome her to Shri Radha Vandavan Chandra Temple. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hari Bol.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Narayanam namaskritya namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam mudirayet nasta praishu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtuki. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Text Number 31, The Characteristics of King Puranjana. Tvadananam Tvadananam Shubru Sutara Lochanam Tvadananam Shubru Sutara Lochanam Tvadananam Shubru Sutara Lochanam Ananam Shubru Sutara Lochanam Tvadananam Shubru Sutara Lochanam. Vyalambini lalaka vrinda samvitam lambini lalaka vrinda samvitam vyalambini lalaka vrinda samvitam lalaka vrinda samvitam vyalambini lalaka vrinda samvitam vyalambini lalaka vrinda samvitam Aniyai me darshaya valgu vachakam Aniyai me darshaya valgu vachakam Aniyai me darshaya valgu vachakam Me darshaya valgu vachakam Yad vridaya nabhimukham suchi smite Smite Yad Vridaya Nabi Mukam Suchi Smite Vridaya Nabi Mukam Suchi Smite Tvad Ananam Subru Sutara Lochanam Vyalambini Lalaka Vrinda Samvritam Uniya me darshaya valgu vachakam Yad vridaya nabhimukham suchi smite Please chant. Vyalambini Nananam Subrusitaralochanam. Vrinda Samvitam. Me Varshaya Falguvachakam. Vrindaya Nabhimukam Suchismite. Ananam Subhrusitara Lochanam. Vaishnavas, Dananam Subhrusmitara Lochanam. Vrindakam Vrinda Samvitam. Niyame Darshaya Vagu Vachakam. Tvat your ananam face subru having nice eyebrows sutara with nice pupils lochanam eyes Vyalambi, scattered. Nila, bluish. Alakavrinda, by locks of hair. Samvritam, surrounded. Aniya, having raised. Me, unto me. Darshaya, show. Valguvachakam, having words very sweet to hear. Yat, which face, vidaya, by shyness, na, not, abhimukham, face to face, suchismite, O woman of lovely smiles. Translation, my dear girl, your face is so beautiful with your nice eyebrows and eyes and with your bluish hair scattered about. In addition, very sweet sounds are coming from your mouth. Nonetheless, you are so covered with shyness that you do not see me face to face. I therefore request you, my dear girl, to smile and kindly raise your head to see me. Please repeat. My dear girl, your face is so beautiful with your nice eyebrows and eyes and with your bluish hair scattered about. In addition, very sweet sounds are coming from your mouth. Nonetheless, you are so covered with shyness that you do not see me face to face. I therefore request you, my dear girl, to smile and kindly raise your head to see me. purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Such a speech is typical of a living entity attracted by the opposite sex. This is called bewilderment, occasioned by becoming conditioned by material nature. When thus attracted by the beauty of the material energy, one becomes very eager to enjoy. This is elaborately described in this instance of Puranjan's becoming attracted by the beautiful woman. In conditional life, the living entity is attracted by a face, eyebrows or eyes, a voice or anything. In short, everything becomes attractive. When a man or a woman is attracted by the opposite sex, it does not matter whether the opposite sex is beautiful or not. The lover sees everything beautiful in the face of the beloved and thus becomes attracted. This attraction causes the living entity to fall down in this material world. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 7:27. Icha dvesha samutena dvanda mohena bharata sarva bhutani samoham sarge yanti parantapa. O scion of Bharata, Arjuna, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. This condition of life is called avidya. Opposed to this avidya is real knowledge. Sri Ishopanishad distinguishes between vidya and avidya, knowledge and ignorance. By avidya, ignorance, one becomes conditioned, and by vidya, knowledge, one becomes liberated. Puranjana admits herein that he is attracted by avidya. Now he wishes to see the complete feature of avidya, and so requests the girl to raise her head so that he can see her face to face. He thus wishes to see the various features that make avidya attractive. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangolam Gayate Girim Yat Kripastamahang Bande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Manchakapataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I want to thank you all so much for allowing me to give this class today, for so kindly welcoming us back to your beautiful Pune Yatra, such a wonderful temple. Everyone has been so kind and so friendly, so many new friends. Of course, we have older friends like Aishwarya and Madan Mohan Mohini and their wonderful family, but I've met so many wonderful new friends. So thank you so much for welcoming us in such a hospitable way. We're so grateful. And I wanted to say that back in the old days, in New Vrindavan, they used to say that all deities all over the world are actually expanded from Radha Vrindavan Chandra.
So I don't know if it's true, but I think Radha, Vrindavan and Chandra are most beautiful. So maybe it's true. Maybe all other deities are expanded from them. So thank you so much. So Narada Muni, the great guru of bhakti yoga, is instructing King Prichinabharhisat with the allegorical tale of King Paranjan. In everyday life, everything depends on our ultimate goal. What is my icha? Just like this verse that Srila Prabhupada has quoted, icha dvesha samutena, right? What is my icha? The one icha to control has brought us into the material world, but what is my icha now? So King Paranjana, aka King Prichinabharhisat, wants to see the complete feature of avidya face to face. The verse says, darshaya abhimukham, face to face. Prabhupada says he wants to see avidya face to face. So he thinks he can be happy by getting, by dominating, by usurping, by seducing. This is how he thinks he can be happy. But in bhakti, we understand that we can only be happy by giving to our ultimate source, Sri Krishna, and seeing every living being as his beloved part and parcel. So there's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto. Aishvaryasya samagrasya viryasya yasasashriya jnana vairagyayas chaiva sanam bhaga itingana. So this verse says who the real hero is, that Krishna has all six opulences. He has all power. He has all strength. He has all opulence. He has all beauty. He has all knowledge, all renunciation. So he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only the one who possesses these six opulences in full is our real hero, right? King Paranjana wants to be the hero of this girl, but he has not offered his dandavats to the real hero, Sri Krishna. So Krishna is the real Nayaka, and Radharani, she is the real Nayaki, right? They are the real heroes of our lives. So the ultimate desire of a devotee, so he wants to get the darshan, this full face-to-face darshan of avidya, right? So the desire of a devotee is to get that face-to-face, that sakshat darshan of Krishna, face-to-face. And by seeing Krishna's lotus feet, to begin by seeing Krishna's lotus feet in the pages of first canto Srimad Bhagavatam, gradually going up, learning and studying about his calves, his thighs, his waist, his chest, and ultimately his beautiful lotus face, which is described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the goal of a devotee, right? To receive the sidelong glance of Sri Radha, right? To love and to humbly serve our Lord throughout our lives. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that the lover sees everything beautiful in the face of the beloved and thus becomes attracted. And this attraction causes fall down in the material world. And again, the verse is quoted, icha dvesha samuttena dvanda mohena bharata sarva bhutani samohang sarge yanti parantapa. This is the reason we fall into material life, being deluded into a separate dualistic mentality, separated from pure knowledge of our constitutional position as living beings in subordination to the Supreme Lord. So such a person, ourselves, we become controlled by the illusory energy manifested as desire, icha, and dvesha, hate. Right? So Srila Prabhupada quotes Isha Upanishad in the purport. And the verses in Isha Upanishad, there are a couple of verses that describe vidya and avidya. Anyad evahur, mantras 9 and 10, if you'd like to look them up. Anyad evahur vidyaya, anyad ahur avidyaya, iti sushramadhiranam yenastad vichachakshire. The wise have explained that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge, and that a different result is obtained from the culture of nations. So one paragraph that Prabhupada writes in the purport to this verse, he says, and we understand this very clearly, he says, in the modern society, even a boy thinks himself sufficient and pays no respect to elderly men. You know, there's someone talking here. I wonder if someone could mention to that person that there's a class going on in the temple room. It's a little distracting. So, even a boy thinks himself sufficient and pays no respect to elderly men. Due to the wrong type of education being imparted in our universities, boys all over the world are giving their elders headaches. Thus, Sri Ishopanishad very strongly warns that the culture of nations is different from that of knowledge. The universities are, so to speak, centers of nations only. Consequently, scientists are busy discovering lethal weapons to wipe out the existence of other countries. So, it's terrifying, really. So, therefore, the reason for such a wonderful school as you've all established here, how important. I mean, for me to see so many devotees that I knew from the U.S. coming here to bring their kids, I know other devotees who've come back to India being frustrated by the academic education in the U.S. They come back to India, and then they go back to the U.S. because they didn't find anything in India. It was just as bad. So to see the wise and brilliant devotees who've come here for the sake of their children is very, very inspiring to me. So this reminds me of a story of Srila Prabhupada. Sita Priya said, we hear enough philosophy, we have to hear some stories of Srila Prabhupada. So here's a story of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was speaking at Harvard University, and he said something really extraordinary. He said that there is a story in India that the great Himalayan mountains were going to give birth to an offspring. And all the villagers gathered at the foot of the mountain to see what kind of offspring would the great mountain give birth to. So all the villagers were there gathered around waiting to see. And all of a sudden, all these mice start running out of the mountain. What? So Srila Prabhupada said, so similarly, Harvard University, such a great university, but he said, but you are simply giving birth to, and the unique way Prabhupada would say it, you are simply giving birth to hippies. So Srila Prabhupada was so fearless in his presentation of Krishna consciousness. So also in the purport, this aggregate of knowledge that's given in Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter, verses 8 through 12. Let's see if I marked it. So this aggregate of knowledge, it begins with the most important principle, which is humility. But it was always interesting to me. I'll read you the list. Humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. So it's an interesting list, and once I asked Radhana Swami, you know, the first two, humility and then pridelessness, it sounds like they're the same. What really is the difference between humility and pridelessness? It sounds like two things that are the same are being mentioned at the beginning. And he gave a really interesting answer to me. He said that humility is a positive attribute that is attained, acquired by the cultivation of devotional service. And he said pridelessness is just the absence of pride, that even a person, even an impersonalist might have pridelessness. That was a very interesting answer I found as to why almost the same thing is mentioned twice. So in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 16th chapter, verses number 26 through 30, Srila Prabhupada also explains that gratitude is also one of the characteristics of knowledge. And he says there, he asks actually, he says, if we are not grateful for the mercy we receive, will we be blessed with more? So gratitude is also one of the characteristics of knowledge. So speaking of ignorance, there are three kinds, primarily three kinds of ignorance. Ignorance about the nature of the self, ignorance about the nature of God, and ignorance about the process of self-realization or liberation. So we become bewildered by duality, but actually our true nature is one of connectedness as Krishna's eternal parts and parcels. So speaking of Icha, what is our Isha? Icha, what was the Icha of this King Paramjana? He had an Icha, a desire to get, right? To get the girl, you know? Sometimes people read Srimad Bhagavatam, I've heard this in the West, why does Krishna get all the girls? So Krishna is actually the Lord of all the girls and the boys, right? So King Paramjana, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, they would have a different list of what their ultimate goals would be, what their Icha is would be different. Their list would be given in Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, ignorance, divide and conquer, create dissension among enemies, and perception of friends versus enemies, right? Recently, the British broadcasting company, BBC, did a piece called Seeing is Believing, which we would say, well, we don't believe that. We believe that we need to learn by hearing. But it was interesting what they said. They were saying that people generally see what they want to see, and they believe what they want to believe. So in this way, seeing is believing. People only believe what they want to believe, and they see what they want to see, right? I remember once when I was pujari in Boston, we had some very, very small deities, maybe this big, and we had so many flowers. And this one lady came on Sunday to the Sunday program, and she said, why do you worship flowers? She couldn't even see the deities. And it's interesting, because my own mother is like that also. She only sees the deity's clothes. She says, oh, the deity, they're clothes are so beautiful, but she doesn't see the deities at all. So people see, seeing is believing, people see what they want to believe. And it's said commonly that love is blind, right? You know, maybe you've heard this Indian saying that a mother sees her blind child as, she calls him Padmalochan, right? So in the purport to this verse, Prabhupada says, yes, the lover sees everything as beautiful, even if it's not beautiful, right? But when a devotee falls in love with Krishna, his love also colors the way he sees, right? In the great, beautiful book, Chaitanya Chandramrita, there's an amazing verse, Prabhadananda Saraswati, he says, it begins with Kaivalyam Narakayate, Akash Pushpayate. He's talking about how when someone has received the sidelong glance of Lord Chaitanya, he begins to see that the idea of merging with Brahman is a hellish proposition. And enjoyment in the heavenly planets is like flowers in the sky, something imaginary. And the danger of the uncontrolled senses that are so difficult to control in this world are like snakes with fangs that have been broken. But all by the mercy of receiving the sidelong glance of of Lord Chaitanya. So what is the ichha of a true devotee? Again, to see Krishna face to face. As Kunti Devi says, when I'm seeing you, Krishna, I will no longer see repeated birth and death. And Lord Chaitanya himself in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, he says, if by chance the transcendental form of Krishna comes before my path of vision, my heart, injured from being beaten, will be stolen away by Cupid, happiness personified. Because I could not see the beautiful form of Krishna to my heart's content, when I again see his form, I shall decorate the phases of time with many jewels. Beautiful, isn't it? I shall decorate the phases of time with many jewels. This is Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 236. So what's the nature of selfless love of such a devotee? Lord Chaitanya is appearing as the perfect devotee, as the exemplary devotee. A devotee's ichha, desire, is to seek real love, not as the enjoyer, but again, as the giver. On the nature of authentic love, here's a beautiful quote from the great Catholic teacher Thomas Merton. He said, listen closely, this is really important. He said, love is not a matter of getting what you want. Quite the contrary. The insistence on always being satisfied, on always being fulfilled, makes love impossible. He says, to love, you have to climb out of the cradle, right? Babies live in a cradle. You have to climb out of the cradle where everything is about getting, right? Babies are all, it's all about me, right? Right? Where everything is about getting and grow up to the maturity of giving without concern for getting anything special in return. Isn't that beautiful? So someone may criticize, why is she quoting from some Catholic? He's not in our line. But Radhanath Swami used this quote in his Journey Within book to define what is bhakti. Not even from a Vaishnava source. So beautiful, huh? So in these Jai Shishi, Radha Vrindavan Chandra Shishi, Gornitai, Jagannath Subhadra Baladev. So in these instructive verses, King Paranjana and this woman are being mutually seductive to each other. The verse mentions her shyness. So shyness can be a very beautiful quality. But these days, people are labeling excessive shyness as social anxiety disorder. Have you heard of this before? If someone is too shy, I mean, personally, I think it's beautiful. It's like a gentility. It's a beautiful quality, right? But sometimes for some people it may be true. They may actually have an anxiety disorder. But many saintly people have the quality of shyness also. Srila Prabhupada, here's another story for you. Srila Prabhupada was once asked by a top lady book distributor in Los Angeles, how is it possible to be humble and meek around the temple and fearless out on book distribution? So maybe you've heard this before, but Srila Prabhupada replied that you should be like a lion on the chase and like a lamb at home. Good example, right? Sometimes I find I'm more like a lion at home, and when it's, someone says, would you like to go distribute a few books, then I feel, oh, too shy. So we have to reverse the materialistic tendency, right? So this reminds me of a story of Srila Prabhupada's wonderful disciple, our god sister Mundakini. I don't know if she's been to Pune before, but she's a wonderful devotee, and she's actually a very shy and meek kind of a person by nature. So on Srila Prabhupada's request, she went to Russia to marry the young man that Prabhupada met, a complete stranger. Even her parents hadn't really scanned it, so it wasn't like an arranged marriage. There were no, just a complete stranger with no culture in Russia. Srila Prabhupada had met him. And so then Srila Prabhupada came back to London, and they were discussing that, is there a lady who could marry this young man and teach him Krishna consciousness, because he knows nothing. So the backstory is that Mandakini was worshiping the deities of Radha Lundanishwara, and while she was doing her deity seva, she was hearing a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, and she was hearing Srila Prabhupada say in his lecture that if a disciple is very serious, if he receives an instruction from the spiritual master, he will say yes right away. So she ran into the deity room and she prayed to the deities, please, if I ever get an instruction from Srila Prabhupada, please empower me to say yes right away. So then it came. Prabhupada and Shamsundar came back, and Prabhupada called her into his room, and he said, Mandakini, how would you like to go to Russia to marry this young man who I've just initiated, who's he was Anatoly, and now he became Ananta Shanti. How would you like to go there and marry him? This is not a love marriage. So she said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. So she immediately said yes. And she went there, and it was very, very, very difficult. She went there, and as I said, he had no culture. He didn't know what Krishna consciousness was about. As a matter of fact, you probably won't hear this from her, but when she first went to Russia, he was kind of like Paranjan, thought he'd take her to all the romantic places around Moscow. And he said to her, no, she said to him, Prabhu, she's French, so in her French accent, Prabhu, we have to preach. So then back in London, because she was only able to get visas for maybe 2 or 3 days, at the most 10 to 15 days. So she would be going back and forth to Russia for many years. It was extremely difficult, bringing in books secretly, very, very difficult. So back in London, Srila Prabhupada was giving Srimad Bhagavatam class. She was present there. And Srila Prabhupada, it was a small group of devotees, not like this big community here, but Srila Prabhupada was asking different devotees by name to chant the Sanskrit verse. So different devotees were chanting the Sanskrit. So he asked Mandakini to chant the verse, but she was too shy. And so Prabhupada was really laughing, and he said, too shy to chant the verse, but not too shy to preach in Russia? Prabhupada was really laughing, you know. So this is a Vaishnavi. This is a real Vaishnavi. So this king is trying to seduce this woman to be his partner in life. And what about us when we try to choose a partner in life? So in his Harmonist magazine, the great lifelong brahmacharya Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said something very beautiful about Grihastha Ashram in his Harmonist magazine. Again, I'm reading here, so please try to open your ears. It's hard to listen to things that are being read, but I think it's very instructive. So he says, he's talking about true devotees, authentic devotees, right? So he says, they choose for their partners only such persons who serve God better than themselves. They offer themselves to be accepted by their partners for the favor of being allowed to share in their superior service of Hari. Neither the husband nor the wife should claim the services of his or her partner on their own account. Both of them are only to offer their services if and when their partner is pleased to permit them to share their service of Hari. None of them can force their partners to serve them. The wife is not an object of service of the husband, nor vice versa. Excuse me. The sole object of everyone's service as the only master, only friend, only son, and only consort is Sri Krishna. So this is Vaishnavism beyond Vedic ideas, right? This is pure bhakti. So Paranjan is trying to impress her that he is so strong and powerful, right? But what is the greatest strength, the greatest power for a tiny jiva like ourselves? The greatest power, of course, Krishna's power is the greatest power, Aishvaryasya Samagrasya. But the greatest power in our grasp is the power to yield, the power to surrender to the source of all power. Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanamante, Gyanavan Mam Prapadite, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, Krishna says, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Bhagavad Gita 7:19. So in conclusion, we spoke about how in life everything depends on our ultimate goal. We spoke about who is the real hero, who is the real Nayaka, who is the real Nayaki. Do we want to be deluded by duality, Ichadvesha Samutena, by desire and hate? Do we want to be bewildered by being face to face with ignorance or avidya? Or do we want to yield, to surrender our higher selves in full knowledge, to learn to come to the place of unalloyed love for the one who is the most beautiful, most charming, most playful, and most delightful, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. We talked about authentic love being about giving and not expecting anything special in return. We talked about being a lion on the chase and a lamb at home. And just in the ultimate conclusion, here's a nice verse from the Vrindavan Mahamamrita about the beauty of the moon of Vrindavan and his queen, Sri Radha. Please listen closely. Vrindavan's queen brings limitless pure bliss to he whose face is Vrindavan's splendid moon, risen from the nectar ocean of bliss and love. She fills Vrindavan with nectar, and she makes her beautiful friends again and again shed tears, and their bodily hairs stand erect in wonderful ecstatic love like her own. Thank you so very much, Hare Krishna. So are there any questions, comments, or reflections, or corrections? Do you want to hear another? Oh, sorry.
Mataji, I'm very, very grateful. Your presentation is very, very appealing and very inspiring. Especially in the beginning, what you said about Prabhupada's anecdote that he said about the children of mountain Himalayas, Harvard, it's very graphical. Mataji, I wanted you to what advice would like to give to the devotees who are practicing devotees? They have their children and they consider that education of what is given Indian education is also nothing different from what is available in Western world. And that education and the products of that education in our lifestyle, the parents consider that as more important than the Vedic values the son or daughter gets. So what is your advice to them?
I can only remember Lokanath Swami's class of the other day. He was so funny. He was talking about how his mother used to take him before the deities when he was a child. and she used to tell him, pray. And he would say, pray what? And she said, pray for intelligence. But then he said when he went to Juhu Temple and he got the intelligence from Krishna to surrender to Krishna and become a devotee, she wasn't thinking of that kind of intelligence. It was so funny. And he said she wanted him to come back riding on a two-wheeler and as an engineer. But instead he came back riding on a bullock cart. It was so funny. So, parents, how to deal with materialistic parents. There's one lady, I heard a story, Gaur Gopal, everyone knows Gaur Gopal, he's famous in India now. I was on an airplane and the gentleman sitting next to me was watching Gaur Gopal on his phone. So apparently, I heard this story when I was in Mumbai that Gaur Gopal's mother was sitting in Radhanath Swami's room. She would not leave from there, she would sit there all day long telling Radhanath Swami, give me my son back. And Radhanaswami was telling her, take him, he's free to go. I'm not holding him here. He's free to go, but he won't go. But now that lady, I actually met her, and now she's making so many wonderful, delicious preparations for all the devotees. She's a wonderful, she's become a wonderful devotee. So by humility, patience, perseverance, determination, but really mostly humility and pridelessness, beginning with the aggregate of knowledge, these parents can also come around to become devotees. And there's so many amazing stories of devotees' parents leaving this world and going back to God just by the association of their wonderful children. It's very hard for parents to listen to preaching by their children, but with humility, they can also come around. So I don't know if I'm not answering the question. The question was, what is the advice to people teaching children, devotees teaching children? Is that the question?
My advice to what I was asking is, parents who are practicing devotees, and in their knowledge or ignorance, whatever, they are also expecting their children to give the most highest priority to that education, what they are getting in the colleges, and the products of that education, that is gadgets kind of things, the most important than even to get the guidance and real knowledge right. from the scriptures and all. Right.
So the materialistic colleges are very, very dangerous places. But I think if the parents give a very strong foundation to the children in the beginning of their life, the children will really have Krishna consciousness deep in their hearts. I recently heard a story from one of the educators. You're having an ISKCON GBC conference now. So one of the great educators in ISKCON was telling me a story that there is a couple. They don't follow any of the principles of Krishna consciousness. They eat meat, they gamble, they do all these things. But the one thing they did for their children is every night they read them Krishna book. So of the three children that they have, two of them grew up to become devotees. And these are parents who don't do anything except that one thing. So it seems to me that if parents give their children a very good foundation, like the education that's being given here at Pune Yatra and at home, teach them to love Krishna and serve Krishna with their whole hearts, then by the time they go to a materialistic university, they will have the internal ammunition of how to fight fire with fire, which is really what needs to be done. We can't just roll over and die when we see the media and the billboards. We have to begin to fight fire with fire. I'm hoping someone will buy a contract for billboards in one of these big cities like Mumbai or Pune and start fighting fire with fire, because we can't just allow this to go on. It's very insidious, very dangerous. Thank you for your nice question. Is there time for one more question? Maybe from the Vaishnavi side? Yes, Sita Priya. Sita Priya has been feeding me and gathering all these other ladies to take care of me, and I'm very grateful. Thank you so much.
Matsuji, you mentioned that Srila Prabhupada told Mandakini Mataji that she was shy but yet bold. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we cultivate this? Because she did it, but I don't know how to do this.
Right.
So how can I, you know, be shy but yet be bold outside?
Some things that are impossible and out of our grasp, we just have to go to Krishna and cry, you know? I mean, maybe you've heard before that there are certain demons who were killed by Lord Balaram and certain demons who were killed by Lord Krishna. So those, each one represents some negative trait, some demoniac trait. So the ones that are killed by Lord Balaram, we have some agency to try to work on those qualities. Some just come by Krishna's mercy. So I would suggest that we try our best and practice, right? Should I tell you another Prabhupada story? Okay, I'll tell you a little Prabhupada story. So this was in Boston, and Prabhupada kept saying over and over again in all his lectures, just try to become sincere. Just try to become sincere. It seemed like he was repeating that all the time, and it was all I was hearing. So finally I asked him, but Srila Prabhupada, how can we become sincere? So Srila Prabhupada looked at me very intensely and he said, "How do you become a thief?" I was really shocked. So what do you think? What's the answer? How do you become a thief? Practice, associate with thieves, right? Eat what they eat, you know? Talk like they talk, and practice. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, so you must practice. And once he got the same question in Australia, and he said, how do you become a drunkard? And so, same answer. But at that time, he pointed to all the devotees, his disciples that were on the stage with him at this particular event, and he said, associate with them. They are sincere. So that's a nice answer. So I would say practice, you know, even if you feel like it's impossible, if you feel, like I feel like this myself, I feel like I'm such a lion, you can ask my Prabhu, I'm such a lion at home and such a lamb when it comes to preaching. But so we have to practice and associate with people who have those qualities. Find some lamb-like Vaishnavi and associate with her. But then find the lion-like Vaishnavi who goes on book distribution. Associate with her. Jai. So practice. Thank you all so very much. Hare Krishna.